Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another week of A Week in Wrestling. Welcome to another episode of The Link Up. You know, it's your boy Ron the Don, your host, you already know. And returning again this week, my co-host, Mr. All In, Mr. Allen Zander, ladies and gentlemen.
Going on, man. You know what I mean? This gonna be y'all new favorite podcast, you know what I'm talking about? So don't even trip.
This tell is the them right now.
Everybody wants to see right here.
Yeah, because we got that boy Xander, boy. That man, a future star in the making, you know. We see you doing your thing at Wildcat, so we already know.
Yep. Yeah, this week right now, this week so far, just been nothing but just watching film, studying the craft, you know what I mean? Probably tomorrow we might get up in there, do a little bit of body slams, bump a little bit, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Shoot. If I can get my health in order, man, I'm trying to.
Yeah, see, I'm get into that. Hit up. I'm actually talk to either Sammy tomorrow, Sammy Kiss, or Luke Hawks tomorrow to see about like documenting like my journey, because I know they have like those old school. They got that old school vibe where like they're like, oh, I mean, they don't really allow videoing, but things might change. I don't know. Maybe if I ask them, they'll probably let me document. Cause I want to document my journey. I want people to know what I'm doing, like. In the ring to get better, how I'm doing my promos, you know, stuff like that. I want people to actually get a full in-depth. So if you ever want to do this, you can see what it takes.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, shoot, let me know. We could definitely upload it to the, you know, YouTube channel, you know, get everybody a little insight, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that's thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, and I recently saw that WWE Next Gen not podcast, WWE Next Gen, that show that they had on Roku.
Yeah,
or something series. Like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that gave me a lot of insight, but.
Bruh, I'm telling you, like, bro, my brother, he was watching that, right? First thing he did, and I think it's laughable this whole entire, it's like, it's still laughable, like, to this day, but, I mean, then again, he probably really means it, but he literally sent me the recruit link. For Dirty V recruit, he sent me the link like right after he watched it. I'm like, bruh, I mean, I wish it was that simple, you know what I mean? And I could just apply to Dirty V and they just randomly just see my page, like, oh, well, let's get this guy a tryout, you know? I mean, I wish it was that easy, but gotta grind. Yeah. And then maybe once I get some stuff under my belt, maybe I could probably, you know, put that app in and then see what happens.
Shout out to your brother, by the way, you know? Yeah. I know he a fan of the pod.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, he was showing love and stuff. You know, shout out Tiki Johannes. I think that's what his name is on Instagram right now. Because he be changing it like every five months, 6 months. I don't know, every 5 minutes. But.
Well, if you watching this, go follow that boy Tiki Johannes on IG. You know, courtesy of the link up. If you really rock with your boys, Don and Xander, go follow our boy Tiki. But man, it's been quite the week. You know, we got a little things going here in WWE, so we're gonna get into it. We're gonna start with SmackDown. This past weekend, an episode of SmackDown that opened up with Cody Rhodes coming out, finding out his next opponent, and his next opponent will be at the King and Queen of the Ring in Saudi Arabia, and it's gonna be none other than the U.S. champion Logan Paul. What do you think about that?
So, are they unifying the title? Is it going to be champion versus champion? Like a title versus title match?
I don't know. Like, you definitely got to tune in to SmackDown this Friday, because, like, when Cody was speaking, he was kind of alluding to that. But then when Logan was speaking, like, he was kind of alluding to that not being the fact. So, I'm not really sure. I'm definitely interested to see. But I know a lot of people, like, you know, I don't really be on the IWC like that, you know, because we know how they get. But a lot of people kind of like not happy because like they feel like either way it go, the result of the match is not going to look good for whoever loses.
This is how I see it. So you have an event at Saudi Arabia. You know Saudi Arabia is known for wanting big names on their card. Logan Paul, believe it or not, whether people like it or not, is a big name. in WWE Definitely. Because of how much draw that he brings from the outside world into the WWE. You know, so that kind of, I think that kind of plays in a factor. But honestly, when it comes down to, like, I guess why they're mad, I guess because they see that there's other potential opponents that he could have went against. You could have probably gave AJ a rematch, probably could have had LA Knight. But I mean, mm-hmm. these people are going to have their opportunities, I'm sure. Like, it was something I put, like, on Instagram. It was something that I posted on there, a comment under someone's post. I was saying, like, once Roman Reigns loses the title, it opens up a massive door for everybody to be, like, a potential threat. Like, it's like a believable threat to Cody Rhodes' reign. Like, anybody can legit, like, win that belt. But it's just a matter of, like, who and when. And right now, I don't think that's going to be the time. So, they're probably just putting Logan Paul there to just, you know, because he's a big name. Like I said, he's a big name. Saudi Arabia wants big names on their cards.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree, and I see it that way. We all know, you know, the history between WWE and Saudi Arabia. We know it'd be a lot of money involved, and they want to put on a show, a spectacle. So, like you said, it's no surprise. I think people are more so mad at, like, if, say we just going to say, because we don't know yet, both the titles are on the line. You got to go through the whole thing with basically a double champion. And then it makes, like, the say Cody beats him, it makes Logan look weak. Say Logan beats Cody, which that'll be something in itself. It'll make Cody definitely look weak. So it's like, and then also, like, if whoever does win both titles, then, like, you got to do the whole thing with Roman where he, like, defending both titles, you know, keeping them. Or if you beat him for the U.S. title, that's going to make him look weak. And then now you got to, you know what I'm saying? So I can see why people would be upset about that.
Now, this can be a possible scenario that I can see this happening, like, to kind of fix this. If they are going to make both titles on the line. The most likely scenario is a DQ finish. It's probably going to be a DQ finish. And if it's a DQ finish, guaranteed it's the bloodline. Guarantee it.
That's what I'm thinking. Before we get into the bloodline, though, because we definitely got to get into them boys, because, you know, that we're going to get into that. But something, you know, I just wanted to point out a line that Logan Paul said, which I love. He said, it's going to be the Logan Paul Levesque era. I thought that was, I don't know, maybe I'm just lame, but I thought that was, like, I don't know. That was, like, that stood out in his promo.
Logan Paul Levesque era. I mean, I don't know. That's just, to me personally, it's a little cringe. But, hey, if it got a ring to it, it got a ring to it. Hey. It'd be the cringiest things that work. So look, don't listen to me. You know, I'm just a bystander. I just watch the product. So I'm not there in the boardrooms where they're making all these little like promos and like writing these scripts and stuff. So I'm not there for all that. So
hey, you know that boy Vince, the man that shouldn't be named, had a secret son. So maybe Logan is a Triple H secret son.
But see, that sounds like something that Vince. That's like something that like he would cook up. The Logan Paul Levesque era. That's like something that Vince would cook up in the studio.
I mean, it's a lot of stuff that Vince would cook up, but we ain't gonna get into that, bro. We ain't gonna get into that. But like another thing, I mean, to me, the King of the Ring and the Queen of the Ring match has been on fire lately. Like Jade Cargill beat Piper Niven in their first round matchup. Bianca Belair beat Candice LeRae in their first round matchup. Now, and Nia Jax, she beat Naomi in her first round matchup, so she's going to face Jade Cargill next week on SmackDown, which is sure to be a good one.
You said Nia Bianca, Jade?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be one.
Yeah, because the Piper matchup was good. But it's interesting to see, because last week we was basically talking about, you know, the potential Jade versus Bianca, and they both on the opposite side of the bracket right now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out. Of course, Bianca is waiting the winner of Tiffany Stratton versus Meechan. And so whoever wins that, that's who she gonna go against. And then on the King of the Ring side, you know, Randy Orton beat AJ Styles. Tama Tonga beat Angelo Dawkins, who was filling in for a hurt Bobby Lashley. And Carmelo Hayes beat Baron Corbin in his first round matchup. And then also to be determined, and still in the first round, LA Knight versus Santos Escobar. That one is also interesting, too, considering the fact that Randy and Tama Tonga is on the opposite side of the brackets. So it's going to be interesting to see how that play out. You know, if they're going to meet each other again, is we going to get a wild, crazy brawl? How that story going to develop? Or, yeah, like, what if Melo don't miss? What if he actually do knock off Randy Orton? Gotta be crazy.
You see, now see that? That's kind of what I wanted to talk about. So the way I could see it possibly happening with Carmelo Hayes actually getting the win over Randy Orton could be because outside interference from the Bloodline. I can kind of see that happening, because I really do like believe the fact that like Triple H is trying to push these NXT people to kind of show them, to kind of give them like a little bit of light, like to what pretty much trying to like show the audience that don't watch NXT, like the casual fans, what these people are about. So you got your Tiffany Stratton, you got Carmelo Hayes, you got what's that girl's name? Lara something. I keep forgetting.
Lyra Valkyria.
Yeah. Valkyria, yeah, her. You got Dragunov, even though he didn't win, we're gonna talk about that. So yeah, I'm pretty sure these are just Triple H is kind of giving these like performers a platform right now. So I wouldn't be surprised if the finals, if it's not going to be the King of the Ring, it could be the Queen of the Ring finals. I could see like both NXT people from there kind of like ending it off in the finals.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see. You know, we're going to talk about our predictions later. I got a few takes, but to wrap up some interesting things that took place on SmackDown, we had Solo and Paul Heyman interacting, where Solo basically says, until Roman gets back, Roman gave him, you know, control of the Bloodline. Now, last week we talked about who really is the head of the table right now. Do you feel like Solo is being truthful here? Or you feel like he just still going out on his own?
Did Roman really tell him? Because when they kicked out Jimmy out of the Bloodline, it didn't seem that way. Because if that was the case, he would have let Paul Heyman call him. So did he really? Because I mean, I don't know.
That's true.
In the way that, now one thing I do like about this is the fact that, even though it's kind of in an awkward place right now with this storyline, them trying to like, it's pretty much in the feeling out process. But I like the fact that they're giving Solo, at least trying to give Solo his time on the microphones and his time like actually cutting promos and stuff. Because it kind of shows that he was studying Roman Reigns a little bit. Like when he was like I don't know if you could tell, but like just his vibe just alone was just like, okay, this guy is kind of, he's been laid back studying a little bit. Because he was saying stuff like, okay, I'm over here thinking it's Roman Reigns over here talking. But hey, we're going to have to see what happens though, man, with this story, man. I'm kind of excited to see. I'm excited to see what's going to happen around like SummerSlam, around the SummerSlam timeline. Because hopefully Reigns does come back around that time. Hopefully Roman Reigns does actually comes back just in general, honestly, because you got the crowd over here saying we want Roman now, like how they were saying we want Cody during WrestleMania season.
Yeah, that's definitely gonna be interesting to see. Like for me, like I always felt like Solo had this like ability, especially if you watched him in NXT. Like he didn't say much, but when he spoke, you believed it. Like he always had that aura about him. And mm-hmm. then Roman told him, like, after Roman's finished, you will be the next one. So who knows? Maybe Roman did give him the okay because he already blessed that in the past. You know what I'm saying? Now, as far as all these new additions, who knows if Roman cleared it? You know what I'm saying? We got the Gorillas of Destiny in here. So, you know, that's a wait and see. But
I was really surprised to see them. Like I think I read a thing where they said it's like one OG Bullet Club member left that hasn't signed with WWE. Like there's one more left from the Bullet Club. I forgot his name though. But I'm gonna have to look it up and I'm gonna have to probably show you about it or maybe tell you about it in next week's podcast. Cause
Yeah, we'll just have to research it. I don't want to say the wrong name.
But
that was pretty much SmackDown in a nutshell. Nothing too crazy. Some good matches. I definitely would watch if you into wrestling matches, and you know some storyline continuation. Definitely looking forward to see that. Now, Monday Night Raw was eventful. Not necessarily eventful like on the show, but like you know the talk. Outside of the show.
Yeah.
Continuing on with the King of the Ring. Jay, surprisingly to many, I guess, went over versus Ilya Dragunov in the second round. So he'll be going against Gunther in the semifinals, who beat Kofi Kingston also on Monday Night Raw. So next week we'll have the semifinals between Gunther and Jay. Just trying to dive straight into it, you know, a lot of people was upset online, basically, that they feel like Ilya got buried, you know, but at the same time, Jay been on the losing streak, so it's one of those things, you know, it could have went either way. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, honestly, when it comes to how the internet wrestling community feels about Dragunov lose the Jey Uso, I don't care. The real person won, all right? The right person won that match. That's all I'm going to say. Jey Uso, now, the only thing that I don't like about his run right now, but I'm seeing like a trend of, every single time he's getting that title match, they don't pull the trigger.
I know.
So my fear is, you get him all the way to the finals for the King of the Ring, and you don't pull the trigger. Or, if you have him win the King of the Tournament, and he gets his world title shot, they don't pull the trigger. So my question is, are they ever going to pull the trigger? Or when are they going to pull the trigger? Who knows? But the right person won that match, though. So I don't want to hear nothing about that. Dragunov, they're trying to, like, what I feel is, they're definitely trying to save that match, that rematch with Dragunov and Gunther. That's like that's a WrestleMania match. That's like long-term storytelling right there. I can see that being a WrestleMania match. You don't even have to have a title on the line for that match to be like, oh, shoot, this is going to be a banger. Because if you go back and watch their old matches, it's all it was. Banger, banger, banger.
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I definitely thought we was getting that in the first round, but I kind of like that they teased it and didn't give it to us. You know, I feel like that makes it's gonna make the match even bigger down the line. But looking at both sides of the bracket right now, you know, some people are in the belief that Jay could possibly beat Gunther. It sounded like you feel that way. And on the other side of the bracket is, you know, a family member. And Tama Tonga. So a lot of people feel like, you know, that could be the finals for the King of the Ring. What you think?
So if you go off logically about their last encounter, Gunther and Jey Uso. Jey Uso had Gunther beat. But Jimmy Uso interfered. So I'm going off based off that as to why I think he's gonna beat Gunther, because he did have him beat. Let's be real. He had him beat before Jimmy started ringing that bell, distracted him. Then he got the power bomb, and then it was 1, 2, 3. Like, we gotta admit that. A lot of people in like the internet wrestling community are kind of seeing that as being like the final result, because it was kind of teased during Backlash when everybody was circling around Jay, moving mm-hmm. along, trying to keep it pushing. So that match, it does have the potential to happen. And they might end up having that, which is going to kind of be, I don't know, because, like, you got to admit, he just got there, you know, to WWE. So putting him in the finals in the King of the Tournament, it's going to be kind of like, but you could probably do something with it, I think.
I definitely don't think Jay is winning, you know. And, you know, Jay, my guy, I'm a big Jay Uso fan, you know. You know, every time he come out, I got to do the wave. You know, I got to get hype. You know. But I definitely think Gunther is going to the finals. And then, like, for me, from the jump, when I saw the bracket, I always thought it was going to be Gunther versus LA Knight in the finals. That's just my prediction. I think Gunther is going to win. Because, like, this is the way I think about it. Everybody... Like, if we thinking, like, outside, everybody has, like, a story set for them. If Gunther loses, what's really next for him? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's really next? Like, Damian Priest the champion right now, and he already got a list of, like, potential contenders at the moment. And you don't want to feed him to Damian right now, because Damian just became champion, so he can't take another loss. Now, I could see Gunther winning the Money in the Bank. That could be a possibility. But is it likely? No, I don't think so. So that's why I feel like...
I don't see it.
That's why I feel like I just see him... Like, out of everybody in the tournament, I just see him taking it.
Yeah, I mean, look. Now that you brought that to my attention... Okay, so I could possibly... Like, it's a realistic scenario of Gunther winning the whole King of the Tournament. Because, I mean, before it even started... Didn't he was cutting a promo in the ring saying that he was going to win it, and pretty much. And usually, I ain't going to lie, when people do that, when it's like the first two or three people that come out and said that they're winning something, they're most likely going to win it. And when you was talking about Gunther being like, not really being like a Money in the Bank, I don't really think him being like a Money in the Bank type of guy. Like you were saying. That would kind of be like Jey Uso. I could see Jey Uso being a Money in the Bank kind of guy.
Yeah.
Getting that World Championship from cashing in, which ain't nothing wrong with that. Shoot, Big E, he did it, and normally seen him as a Money in the Bank guy, and he cashed in on the contract and won his WWE Championship. So, I mean, hey.
Damian Priest.
Yep. Damian Priest. Well, but Damian Priest, he's a Money in the Bank guy. Like, it's just like one of those like scenarios where you can kind of see the Money in the Bank contract on some of these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Gunther needs like a new direction anyway, so I feel like it'll be good for him to win the King of the Ring. On the women's side, we had Lyra Valkyria beating Zoe Stark in the second round, so she's going on the semifinals to face Io Shirai, who beat Shayna Baszler. Both were good matches. We can kind of see like, you know, that rivalry setting up with everything going on between Abira and Becky versus Damage Control, you know, adding Liv Morgan. I'm actually excited for that match. I feel like that's going to be a good match. As far as, like, the Queen of the Ring tournament is concerned, I like Tiffany Stratton as Queen of the Ring. That's who I think. I don't know how she's going to do it, like, how she's going to beat Bianca and Jade. But I just feel like I see it. And I can see that happening.
You're not wrong there. See, a lot of people, that's one thing I would say. A lot of people are asleep on Tiffany Stratton. Like, you know what I mean? She's athletic. She's picking this up at a very fast rate. That's why they're pushing her to this extent. She's already had a bunch of things, like a bunch of accomplishments so far in like her career. And she's like, what? How old is she? Like, what, 24, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like, And she's able to pick this up at such a fast rate. Like, usually when people
she's only been wrestling a couple years.
Yeah, so usually when stuff like that happens, you got people that do that. You have to put the rocket ship on them and see where it lands them. You know what I mean? Some people would take it and run with it. Some people take it and fumble. And in her case, she's taking it and running with it all day.
Yeah, and I feel like she definitely needs something because she's over right now. And, like, Bayley just won the chip, obviously, you know. Bianca and Jay just won the tag team championship. So, like her being, like, the most over, you know, woman superstar on SmackDown, she needs, like, something. And I feel like that gives her something.
Yeah, see, that crown, it's not going to give – I mean, it's not a championship, but she's over to the point where she doesn't need a championship right now. Like, maybe they're probably pushing for her to get – for her to possibly get it later on down the line. So that's kind of where I see that at. Like, I don't think it's good to put the championship on her now, but with the direction that she's going, let's go.
Like, I just, like, as much as I feel like everybody would want to see Jay versus Bianca, I feel like kind of like the Gunther versus Dragunov thing. I think it's teased. Like, that's why they're on opposite side of the brackets. But I don't think it's gonna happen because, like, that's a WrestleMania type match. Like,
yep.
So they're not gonna just obviously, like, give that away for free on TV.
You see, man. They're not gonna give us the whole candy bar, bro. They're just gonna give us the little Hershey kisses, bro. You know what I'm saying? Just a little teasers here and there. Maybe, you know, we might get another Royal Rumble spot, but we're probably gonna get a Royal Rumble spot out of Gunther and Dragunov for sure. If they already haven't had the match yet, we definitely get in the spot with them too.
They might go at it on SummerSlam.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said the match hasn't happened yet, if they kind of keep their paths separate up until the Royal Rumble, then yeah. Which, they can do it.
Yeah, because it also seems like Ilya about to get into a little program with Ricochet anyway. So.
That'd be interesting.
What you think? Heel Ricochet? You think that could be a thing?
I mean, from the vibe was getting off, though, on Raw. I mean, I could see. I wouldn't be surprised. You know what I mean? I would not be surprised. Like, I mean, he's the inaugural speed champion. He probably put, like, a gimmick on him where, like, his head is just all, like, geeked up from that. Him being the first speed champion and stuff like that. Like, and they just make him a heel out of it. I mean, I could see a heel Ricochet.
I'm not going to lie. If there was somebody that I wish would, like, could have won, it would have been him. Because, like, his King Ricochet gimmick outside of WWE
was fire.
So, like, I just feel like
they can't get him everything, bro. He got the speed championship, bro. Go on over there in your own corner, bro. Yo, you got the speed championship already? You good.
I was going to say, trust me.
Something over there.
Bro already winning that life, too. So, I mean.
Yeah. Anyway.
But, apparently Braun Strowman is getting into it with the Judgment Day. If you ask me, I feel like he's going to be the next opponent for the World Heavyweight Championship. That's what it seemed like it's getting to. And a lot of people have been getting involved with the Judgment Day, specifically Carlito. So who do you think will cause the bigger downfall in the Judgment Day? Will it be Carlito? Or will it be Braun Strowman? Who's the biggest threat to the Judgment Day right now?
I really want to say Carlito. Because, so look, every single time the Judgment Day has had an outsider come into their group, it's slowly crumbling them. For instance, JD. Then you got R-Truth. And now you got Carlito. So, and then you also got to also take into effect that Dominic's doing his own thing. And Dominic was just being an outsider with Santos' group, trying to get them to, you know, take down Rey Mysterio at Mania. So it's just like, that they kind of all over the place. So I kind of see them all branching off, doing their own thing. Like the next, like honestly, before next year's WrestleMania, I can see that happen. Like them being no more Judgment Day.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think by the time whenever Rhea comes back, they basically gonna be basically like at the end, and then she gonna try to pull it all together, and then Dom gonna turn on her. That's just how I feel.
Now that would be crazy. If Dom turns on her, it kind of. I mean, I don't want to say it will make sense because I mean, who knows? It could and it couldn't. But at the end of the day, you're gonna get an over babyface in Rhea Ripley again. Cause I mean, she's already kind of planting the seeds to turning babyface, kind of like how Damian Priest is doing right now with the whole thing that happened at Backlash and stuff like that. I could kind of see them branching off as babyfaces out of the group.
Yeah, definitely something to look forward to. You know, I'm still trying to see what's going on between Dom and Liv Morgan, man. I don't know if you saw it, but like Damian basically asked Dom, is like everything okay with he and Rhea before he got cut off by Carlito. So like they definitely planting those seeds.
Yeah. I can see this being a SummerSlam match.
Which one?
Liv and Rhea
versus Liv?
If she's back in time, I can see it being a SummerSlam match.
I hope so. Like I said, I'm going to Raw in August, man. So hopefully they have everybody back. Hopefully Seth is back. Hopefully everybody back.
Yeah, because I don't see the story dragging as far as WrestleMania. I don't see the story dragging that far down the line. Nah. That's more of a SummerSlam match. You give Liv Morgan the title for a little bit and then have Rhea Ripley take it from her. Or
you think she beat?
Or have Rhea Ripley lose. Could work either way.
You think Liv can beat Becky?
Yeah, no doubt. I think she can.
If she get help from Dominic, I can see it happening.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think she's winning clean. So let's get that out the way. Now, if they do have it to where she beats Becky Lynch clean, hey, all that does is just gives her more credibility at the end of the day. So, however they want to do it. This is one of those storylines where I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, and I kind of wouldn't mind to see like what happens. Like I'm not swinging like one way in the story. Like I can see this going either way, and I'll be okay with it.
It's just so crazy because it seemed like in WWE right now as a whole, like it just feels like all of this is like leading up to something. Like everybody is in like stories that's leading up to something. Like even Chad Gable in the Alpha Academy, like. It's leading up to something.
Yeah, like, see, right now, people aren't just on there on shows just to be on shows. It's storytelling. Yeah. Like, storytelling is good, is like, good right now. It's probably better than what it's, like, than it's ever been, in my opinion. Like, because everybody's doing something. And it's always, it kind of goes back to what I was saying, like, about if the story swings either way, it's like people aren't going to get upset about it. But then again, it's the internet wrestling community, so you don't know. But me, I'm satisfied either way with all these stories are going. Like, ever since Cody Rhodes won that title, I'm going to just say that's been a domino effect for me as far as storylines go. Like, I'm satisfied either way now, so I'm good.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, like, I'm a little... It's like, I agree, but at the same time, like, now that Roman is not there, and, like, the idea of, like, who's next to... You know, knock him off. It, like that story is gone. Like they definitely need like the biggest. Like they need a big story. I know right now that the whole bloodline thing is still going on, but it seemed like now that Roman is like not completely out the picture, but off screen, they're missing that huge story. So I'm just hoping they get one of those again. Like that.
I mean, they're gonna find it because see, this is like what. When was WrestleMania? Like, what? We could say like April. 2 months ago now?
Yeah.
A month ago, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta also take into account, after WrestleMania, that started to, like, kind of, like, refresh everything. So, right now, they're in the filling out process. So, we have to just wait and see. Wait and see what Triple H is cooking in the lab. Because, I mean, you already know Triple H, he be cooking in the lab, bro. I don't... I don't think Triple H, in my opinion, has like had a lot of bad like booking decisions. I say that loosely because some questionable things have happened. That's what I'm saying. Some questionable things have happened. But I'd say like 85%, he's up there.
Nah, he's a great booker. Even like in NXT, like when he was down there in NXT, like I used to watch that every week.
Yeah, man, see, we was just talking about that at my wrestling school because we was going over matches and stuff. Like peak NXT for me was when Triple H was running it. Like 2019 Definitely. NXT. Oh my God, bro. That's all I'm gonna say. 2019 NXT was it for me, bro. 2019, 2020, that was it.
I'm talking about Ciampa's whole run as NXT champion. Like, that was the height. And then you had, like, Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black, the Undisputed Era. Bro, those was, like, the golden days.
I'm telling you, that man was doing a whole lot of this. Seasoning, bro. Cooking up in the lab.
Nah, he definitely been doing that now. You know, in a bigger stage, he just got so much that he got to, you know.
Oh, yeah, the main roster is a big, it's a big shit. It's like, it's not like NXT, you know, where it's like very, like, you have like a very little roster. You're dealing with SmackDown and Raw now. So.
Right.
That's a big ship right there.
One good news for Triple H is that it's reported that CM Punk is getting closer and closer to returning in ring. You know, and seeing that he got an ongoing beef with Drew McIntyre, that's very exciting for us wrestling fans.
I'm telling you. Like, and the fact that they were able to cook up this rivalry with both of them being injured, that just lets you know right there. Like, them boys, Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, that's a rivalry right there. Now, that right there, now, I know you were saying they don't really have, like, a big story, but I would say it's not a big story, but it's an important story. This has been one of the most important stories. I mean, even when they had Seth Rollins in it for a little minute, it was important. But now I think they shifted away from Seth Rollins and kind of did Drew McIntyre and CM Punk, which, like I said, I am not mad about at all. Because the fact that these dudes have been cooking it up like this and they haven't had a single match yet, you already know what's going to happen when they actually get in the ring together. It's going to be a movie, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's a big story. It's just not layered like that. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean, though. But honestly, this story's been going on since CM Punk came back. Because Drew McIntyre was always throwing shots. Like, even though he was still a babyface at the time, right? He was kind of like a babyface a little bit.
Tweener.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, like, pretty much he was still throwing, like, subtle shots at CM Punk and stuff like that around that time, saying, oh, yeah, you're going to leave again, and you're going to have a dispute backstage and leave. Like, you know, so like throwing little small shots in there, but...
Yeah.
Now it's just like they ain't throwing, they just straight shooting, boy.
they throwing stones.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that boy Drew been putting in work. I ain't gonna lie. Usually, like, well, back then his promos weren't like that, but nowadays, like, every time his music hit, I'm excited to see what he gonna say, what punchlines he gonna have. Like, he's definitely one of the best things going in the business right now.
Yeah, because not only is he putting work in, like, in the ring and on the microphone, he's going on social media too. He's doing this thing on social media, he's progressing the storylines through Instagram and TikTok, bruh. Like, there's not a lot of wrestlers that can say that they doing that, bruh.
If we were to put it in hoops terms, he like a three-level scorer, bro.
There you go. He got the social media, got the ring work, and he got the mic work now. So, hey, he got the full package now for world championship, you know, a caliber superstar. So, they going to put it on him soon. But just right now, he in a program of Punk. So,
yeah, at the beginning of Raw, him and Damian Priest got into it a little bit. Basically, he was saying that Damian Priest was lucky to be champion because he had a lot going on, but Damian Priest was basically like, all this is happening because you're so focused on like everybody doing you wrong that you're not trying to get right, in a sense.
Yeah.
So
do you think that they're gonna put the strap on him at Clash of the Castle?
I don't know. That's been one that I've been struggling with because, like, either it's tough. I feel like he's gonna get a title match at Clash of the Castle, but at the same time, I can see him also fighting CM Punk at Clash at the Castle on some, like, Bret Hart, or basically, like, when somebody return home and they actually the heel, but because they home, they the face, so CM Punk would be the heel.
CM Punk, I can see them doing something like that. Yeah,
I can see them doing something like that. So
yeah, that's a possibility.
But it's definitely a wait and see. I can't wait, though. I can't wait till them boys do eventually face off.
Yeah.
But I do want to see Drew with the strap. I was a little disappointed, but I understood that, you know, Damian, Tom was running out on that briefcase, so he had to do it eventually.
Yeah, it's Tom was running out, and you shouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying, stunting on CM Punk like that. Like, why are you flexing that thing? You won the belt like that? If it was me, I would have took the belt and just went in the back. I would have just said, all right, and then I would have done all my placing on social media. Like, come on, Punk. I mean, Drew, come on, Drew.
I mean, my dog wanted to kiss his wife. He wanted to shake hands with his brother, you know, do a little celebrating. You know,
that's
maybe
cool.
He wasn't.
Why you had to go to the table on Punk, though? That's where he messed up at.
Maybe it wasn't for CM Punk. Maybe it was for Meek Mill.
Anyway, next topic.
Alright, we're going to get back into our segment, Top 5, man. Of course, in our Top 5, we name our respective Top 5 superstars. This could be, you know, male superstar, woman superstar, tag team, who impressed us this week. And since you are the guest, we'll allow you to go first.
Alright, so at number 5, this is going to surprise a lot of people. Number 5, I got Logan Paul. Logan Paul, he is proving himself. I am not even going to lie. I'm not going to lie to you. He, like, ever since his WrestleMania win, because, see, I was one of the people that said, oh, Randy's going to win the strap, or KO going to win the strap. Logan Paul showed out, and ever since WrestleMania, he's riding on a momentum thing. Just every week is just going up. So that's also why I kind of fear that if they take the belt off of him, it's going to do this to, like, this.
Yeah.
Or it's going to do this and, like, but it's going to decline. Like, at least I think so. Number four, I got Tiffany Stratton. Because she's been putting in that work. Like I said, she has the mic. She has the mic skills, got the in-ring skills, she got a catchphrase. She's one of the top selling merch sellers right now, I think. Really? Out of the women superstars, she's like top 5 merch seller right now. So she got all that. So she got the whole package to even win the whole thing. So I think that's also my pick to winning the Queen of the Ring too. So you know I got to go with her as top 5. All right. So at number 3, I got Cody Rhodes. I know I missed out on him last week, but I'm not missing him this week. I got Cody Rhodes off rip. Just because, you know, he's just, like, people are saying, like you said, the IWC, they over here saying that, you know, he's doing the same thing every week, doing his little promo, and then going about his day, like, what? It's only been, like, a month and a half. Let the championship win marinate. Let it cook. Like, y'all are being impatient. Stop. He's gonna get put in something. Just let it ride. Just chill. But yes, Cody Rhodes, number 3. Number 2.
I respect it.
Number 2, I would have to say Ilya Dragunov. Even though he lost, he still looked good doing it. And it didn't, I don't think that loss messed up any momentum, any push, anything like that, because they had, like, watching that match, they had a lot of time in that match. to work. And that right there just showed you what he can do in the ring. Like, he's showing new viewers to the product what he can do in the ring and for people to take him serious in doing this. So I think he got his point across while losing at the same time. So I don't see it as a lose. I see it as a win to me. So, and number one, gotta go. It's staying the same. Main event, Jey Uso. until that momentum starts dying down, which I don't see it dying down at all, he's probably going to be number one for the next 2 weeks. I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there in advance. Until some things happen to where he starts, you know, where people are saying, oh, he's not doing this, not doing that, he's number one, bro. That's just, does it call me biased? I don't care. I don't care. And I heard some stuff. I heard something about, like, they're saying how they're going to try to put, they're trying to put Jey Uso in a program with the Wyatt Six. Now, take that with a grain of salt. I don't know if that's true or not, but they're saying because of the whole Firefly thing that he posted on Twitter, that they could possibly make him the first target of the Wyatt Six.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. If, like, yeah, he had a backstage interview where he was basically saying, like, not that they would use, you know, Bray Wyatt for storyline. We just speculated, obviously.
Right, right.
He was basically saying that he's thankful that Bray Wyatt, like, the spirit of Bray Wyatt is with him, you know, being that, like, everybody do, like, the, you know, Fireflies when they do the Yeet Wave. So, I mean, maybe. I didn't hear about that, but that's definitely interesting. I've been waiting for them to show up.
Yeah. So.
But, man, I actually like that list. Top five. Oh, me? All right. Number five, Liv Morgan. I actually like what she's been doing. Like, even though she got slapped in the mouth on Raw or punched in the face, her work is, like, you know, basically egging Becky on, being a heel on her revenge tour. Like, I'm buying into it. It's making her an interesting character, and it's like, if you're a fan of Liv, all you want her to do is win. So, like, as long as she comes out, even if she does lose it, you know, in the long run, as long as she comes out, like, champion, I would be happy. And I can, like, she putting in that character work, which is why she made it on this list. So, like, for me, that's why she stood out to me this past week.
Yeah.
Number four. You know, still on the list, I'm going to go with the Women's Tag Team Champions. I don't know. I really enjoyed that match with Jade and Piper Niven. So, you know, that's the main reason why they're on this list. Also, Bianca and Candice LeRae, even though it didn't go on that long. Just like the momentum type of wave that they're on right now. It's been very great for TV. Like, I love, like, you know, the fact that it just seemed like they're getting along, like, the chemistry there, which this all sets up for, like, you know, a greater heel turn in the end. That's, like, I don't know why I get DIY vibes, like, DIY and NXT vibes. Like, that's what I'm getting from, like,
from Jade,
like,
Bianca.
Jade and Bianca. Yeah, like, when it eventually happens, like, I'm getting that. But yeah, that's why I feel like, you know, Jade and Bianca made it into the top four.
Mm-hmm.
As far as my third pick, I'm going to go with main event Jey Uso. This is a spot down from where he was last week for me.
Ah.
But, you know, the fact that he finally won, you know, well, he won last week too, but, like, this was more like a statement win. He kind of killed off, like, you know, the energy that Dragunov had, you know, going into the match. And, you know, maybe there is a world where Jey does win. So I'm hoping that that could be the case.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm excited to see where he goes from here. If Jey won the whole thing, I wouldn't be mad. So.
That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these stories right now are, like, kind of in, like, they're kind of, like, in that spot where it's, like, everybody's being booked like so highly right now, where it's like whoever wins, it's like, I mean, you're not really tripping off of it.
Right.
Because you're getting good wrestling out of it at the end of the day.
And then that brings me to my number two. Now, this guy hasn't been in the ring, but he's been entertaining me. And that's Chad Gable. Like, everything he been doing, like, basically, like, getting in the ass of Maxine, Tozawa, Otis. Like, just becoming a real a-hole. Like,
it's Taylor been, not so swift.
Exactly. Like, that bar was crazy. Like, yeah. And I don't know. At Mania, I was kind of wishing it was Chad over Sammy. Nothing against Sammy, but, you know, we was all hoping that Chad was going to be the one. But I like where Chad is right now. He's actually a great heel. So that's why he's at my number two. And number one, second week in a row, got to give it to the ring, General Gunther. Hey, man. Okay. He's on fire. What else can I say? It's so funny. My wife be telling me all the time, but he's so boring. I'm like, he's not boring. He's just serious. And then, like, you, because what he does in the ring is his character. Like, a lot, like, right. That's what makes him so special to me. Like, he might not have, like, character like a R-Truth or, like, The Miz or something like that. But, like, his only focus is what he's doing in the ring. And he treats wrestling as a sport. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fact that he takes it so serious, that is, like, quote unquote, his character in a way. So I feel like, and it's so believable. And then, like, mm-hmm. every time he, like, this man has never had a bad match. Like, we was talking about Ilya last week, but Gunther, I don't think he's ever had a bad match.
Now, look, I gotta knock on wood because I think I jinxed Dragunov, bro, because now you got everybody saying, in the IWC, they saying that Dragunov and Jey Uso wasn't great, but I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I have no idea what would be going on through some of these people's heads. Like, it'd be a lot of stuff that I'd be wanting to say, but it's just like, I mean, just not. Plus, like, once I get, like, or, like, kind of, like, where, like, I want to be as far as, like, in my wrestling career, I kind of can't do that. I kind of can't get involved in the IWC. Just because I don't want to say nothing that's too bad, and I don't want to step on your toes in that aspect, so. But it'd be a lot of stuff I'd be wanting to say. I'm just using this as my practice right now. I ain't gonna lie.
Nah, definitely save it, because as we seen with a bunch of people, whatever you say will be brought back up again. Once you put it out there, especially in the IWC, it don't die. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I felt like they had a great match, but.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's crazy to me. But, you know, being that Gunther treats wrestling as a sport, there's another company that says they don't sport entertain, they wrestle. You know, a company that we don't really talk a lot about on here. I mean, I ain't gonna lie, I don't watch it anymore because, like, for me, it just haven't been interesting. But I'm talking about AEW, you know, All Elite Wrestling. Today,
you wanna be honest, Ricky. Too, bro? Could I be honest for a second?
What's up, man?
What's up? I haven't watched AEW in a minute either, bro. Bro, it's just like, okay, look. This is a scenario, bro. Either one, I'm just like, I'd just be so like, I'd probably just be like on the game or somewhere. I'd just be chilling. And I literally just like, I don't know. I just forget that it's on. I forget it be on sometimes. But let me not slander him because look, at the end of the day, 2019 AEW, 2019, 2020 AEW, peak right there,
bro. I'm saying. Great. It was great. Like me personally, like, I'm so locked in. Like, I've always been a WWE fan, like, since I was a little kid. So they always gonna be, like, number one. And, like, even with TNA, like, when TNA was on fire, like, I used to watch it, but then it became, like, a phase where I stopped watching that too eventually.
So, I don't know if you could really say that, bro. Because I remember years ago when we was in middle school, bro, you used to talk to me about TNA a lot, bro.
I know, Jeff but Hardy, I don't watch it.
When he was in TNA?
Hey, bro. Jeff Hardy, Rob Van Dam, AJ Styles, they always the exceptions, bro. Those are my top favorite wrestlers Abyss, of all time.
People sleep on Abyss, bro, but that dude was like, he was a big supervillain back then, bro. He was a supervillain of TNA, for sure.
He an underrated big man, like one of the best big men that don't get talked about enough, for sure. Abyss and Janice. But like, that's the thing, like even TNA had like they phased, and I feel like AEW, they had they wave, and it just sucks to see what they came to now. And I'm gonna be honest, like a lot of people, like, you know, they was just there for CM Punk. Like, yeah, CM Punk was interesting, but like, he didn't really draw me to AEW. Like you said, 2019 was such a great year. But eventually, the more you watch, like, it's, and I feel like this got magnified once Cody left a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, AEW start repeating the same stuff, like, over and over again. They'll form a tag team. They'll split up, like, you know, somebody always turning on somebody. Somebody always leaving the group. Chris Jericho done had like 50,000 groups since AEW started, it seemed like. Or 50,000 gimmicks.
How many heel face turns has this guy had, bro? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
I can't even
like,
count my fingers no more.
And I love Chris Jericho. That man is a goat on the mic to me. Like when he was throwing the fireballs in people's face, like, I was still watching back then. But then, like, for me, the fall off was like, then they made Collision, you know, Cody was gone, CM Punk was disgruntled, MJF was champion, but he never even felt like he never really had a good story. Like,
yeah.
Like the Adam Cole thing, yes, but then that ultimately ended with him losing the championship. Like, that was like the highlight of his run. But besides like the whole Adam Cole thing, like, I feel like MJF had a forgettable run. And it hates to say it because I love MJF. You know what I'm saying?
Is Adam Cole back yet or not?
I don't think he's healed. Yet. I think he shows up and do promos, but like I said, I don't watch.
Oh damn. I hate to say it, but he's a manager now, huh?
I know. Adam Boom, huh?
No, I'm saying, like, that kind of reminds me of something. What was supposed to happen with Adam Cole on the main roster?
Yeah, he was supposed to be Adam Boom. That was going to be his name change.
For real?
Yeah, that's what Vince was trying to change his name to, and he's going to be a manager.
Bro. Adam Boom, yeah. Bro?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's why I said that. Yeah, no, Vince was on something else for sure. But, like, even Swerve, like, I was a big Swerve fan, like, even before now, like NXT, like when Swerve first turned heel and he was attacking Leon, what was his name? I just remember Leon. I don't remember his whole name, but like when he started beating him up every week, like I love Swerve and I'm happy that he championed, but it's just not like interesting to me.
Right. Like, I think they're kind of in their peak phase, so they're kind of like they kind of hit like a plateau a little bit, so they just need to just kind of like find something that's gonna push them through it, you know what I mean? Whether that's making a developmental company, like a developmental brand or something.
But that's whether what ROH is.
ROH is the developmental,
basically. I mean, like, it's not developmental, but like that's where they put the people that get no TV time on, like,
should make that into, like, the developmental. They should. I would not be against that, bro. I mean, Ring of Honor, it back in the day, Ring of Honor, it was its own thing. But, I mean, since Tony Khan bought it, you know, it's just been, like you said, a place where people that don't get TV time like that go.
Yeah, what was the dude name? Andretti or something? Action Andretti or something like that? Like people like that, they be on there. And that's no discredit to him, you know. But I'm just saying, like, me as a as a wrestling fan, like me, like going out my way to watch his match. Like the this is the problem with AEW. The wrestling is good, but there is no characters like at all. Like,
yeah,
and the storylines like be trash. Like, you know, I hate to say that word, but it be trash, bro. Like, even like the whole like thing with the showing the CM Punk video, like that. You basically made a person that left you. First, you proved him right because he told the truth, and two, he's working for your rival company, and so you basically gave that man more clout, like the company more, you know, more of a wave to go to ride, like. So that backfired, and then like they keep bringing all these ex WWE people in, and like that was the thing that kind of like ruined TNA in a sense. They just kept bringing all these ex WWE like wrestlers in, and like,
yeah, and not kind of like developing the talent that they have, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, so the thing with TNA, like, the like for me as an actual TNA fan, like I actually love Beer Money, AJ Styles, Frankie Kazarian, like the people that was already there. Like when Jeff Hardy started showing up, Rob Van Dam, it was cool, but then they start bringing everybody, like,
that's what I'm saying. So when you sprinkle them in there, like every once in a while, all right, cool, you know what I mean? Like, but when you start getting big names like Edge or known as Adam Copeland, it, like, me personally, that whole situation right there, yeah, I mean, he got a massive pop when he came, when he arrived at AEW. He got a massive pop, I will say that. But ever since the Christian storyline was dead now, it's just like, I don't know, man. Like, I was already not on board with the name change, bro. It's just, I
was going to say,
yeah, I can't get around that. Like, I get that's your real name. You know, we can never take that away from you. But in my childhood, I knew you as Edge.
Edge, yeah.
You know what I mean? You were always Edge. And in my book, you will forever be Edge. Like, if I see you on the street, I'm going to call you Edge, probably. Just, it's going to slip. But, oh, it's Edge. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Adam Cole.
That definitely,
I don't know.
That, like, for me, that definitely was, like, a negative from the start. Like, the fact that he went in as Adam Copeland, because it just don't have that ring to it.
Yeah.
And, like, the only reason I was excited for him to go there, like, even when he went there, it was almost like, I get it. But at the same time, the only thing, like, me that I would want to see, like, the person I would want to see him work with was Christian. And after that after that was done, like, but, like, yeah. I mean, it's so much stuff, but one thing in particular, Ricky Starks had an interview today in which he said, you know, some interesting things. Let me see if I can pull up the quotes
here. Yeah, I'm about to say, because I did not see the interview, so I'm going to be learning. I'm going to be learning as you go right now.
I got you. Let me pull up the quotes that he did with What Culture. This one that stood out was regarding CM Punk. I have no issues with Punk. I don't give a fuck what anybody tries to tell me. I don't care. He has never done me wrong, and you can have your opinions on him, but you shouldn't vilify someone for thinking differently than you. So, like, right off the bat, that sounds like a shot at, like, you know, the EVPs, because they're the ones who, like, you know, are into it with Punk and would have beef with him for thinking differently. Well, them and Jack Perry. So that's like one thing right there. And then he also said, when asked about like why he hasn't been on TV on AEW, he said he doesn't know why he's not on television. He's not injured or hurt. He just hasn't been put on television. And for a talent, like, one thing I can say, I actually, like, he was one of the people I actually liked watching, even though people said, like, he was trying to be like The Rock. I didn't think so. But, you know, Ricky Starks is very entertaining. Now, what's interesting about this, he's cool with CM Punk. He's cool with Cody Rhodes. And I think he's cool with Jade Cargill. Now, I don't know when his contract is up, but we already seen Sean Spears jump ship. He was cool with Cody Rhodes. Jade Cargill, who was cool with Cody and CM Punk, jump ship. CM Punk jump ship. So, I mean, you know, if Ricky jump ship, I can see him taking off in WWE.
Yeah. And fun fact about Ricky Starks, he trained at Wildcat Sports.
Really?
Yeah, he trained at Wildcat Sports. He was there. He was there for some years, too. But yeah, he trained there at Wildcat.
That's crazy. I remember he was a jobber on Raw for back then, the Revival, now known as FTR.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, if Ricky Starks, I could see that being a scenario where he does jump ship to the WWE, because it's just more eyes on the product at the end of the day. And I mean, they're most likely gonna give him that platform, whether he's on Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. Which, I mean, where do you think, like, hypothetically speaking, if he was to sign with WWE, where would you like to see him end up? Raw, SmackDown, or start off in NXT?
Where I would like to see him end up?
Yeah.
On SmackDown, because Cody is there. So I feel like story-wise, where do I think he would end up? Probably NXT. Only because, like, when WWE sign people, if you're not like a super big name, or like you're not super, what is it called, like if you're not a vet, they usually don't put you on the main roster. Like AJ, like, because AJ was like super well known and he been doing it for a long time, they wasn't sending him to the NXT. Same thing with Carl Anderson. And, like, even now with Tama Tonga and Tungaloa, like, they wasn't getting sent to NXT. Jade Cargill, she was too big of a name. But then you look at Lewis King, a.k.a. Brian Pillman Jr., like, he wasn't, like, Ricky Starks is more of a name, but you know what I'm saying? Sean Spears. So, it just depends.
If he does go to NXT, do you think a name change is on the horizon? We've seen it before. Could it happen with him?
Like, this is my thing. I've been noticing in the Triple H era, it hasn't been a lot of name changes, to be honest. The only one, because even like Sean Spears was Ty Dillinger, but he came back as Sean Spears. So, so like the only one that really got his name changed was Lewis King,
or Lexus King.
Lexus King, yeah. I don't know why I said Lewis, but yeah. Everybody else, like even Jade, like she kept her theme song. Andrade kept his theme song, like so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Ricky keeps his theme song and comes to WWE with that, like, cause you know he got the little thing where he. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could take off with that. That'd be... Yeah. Like, I could see the people at NXT going crazy with that.
Yeah.
But as we wrap up, I forgot to mention, Raw, we also saw Lillian Garcia make a little return. And I don't know if you noticed, but back, like, when they were showing, like, a brawl between Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark versus Damage Control, like, earlier in the day in the parking lot, that boy Kenny Dykstra was on the TV. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, from
Spirit Squad. Yeah, he was on the TV.
Yeah, that dude, he ain't been around for a minute. But I ain't gonna lie, it's good to kind of see the older, you know, like the vets in WWE kind of getting their spots, you know, as like producers and things of that nature. You know what I mean? You got Jason Jordan still doing his thing, you know. As a producer there, you got Kenny Dykstra, Jamie Noble, Hurricane Helms. Pretty sure Finley was there at one point, but isn't he? I don't think he's doing it no more, huh?
I don't think he's there anymore. There was somebody else I saw, but I can't remember. It was somebody. I can't remember though.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. We gonna get on out of here. We both gotta go download that Punk ECW pack.
Yes, on sir.
WWE 2K. So anything you wanna say before we get up on out of here?
June 1st, Wildcat Sports has a show. So if you wanna check it out, go to wildcat.eventbrite.com, get your tickets. We will be having a special guest, Kevin Nash, popping up to the show, you know what I mean? So go ahead and check us out. Like I said, get your tickets at wildcat.eventbrite.com, courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 631, Alan Zampa.
And with that, it's your host, Ron the Don. We out.
Peace.